Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, outfitted by Iron Jock Apparel, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Dancing down the sidelines, and they catch him now! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
Guarded again! Inside the five, touchdown! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
Chucky Hepburn, Big Ten on the line!
Yes! It's over! The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
And welcome into the Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show here on ESPN Madison's YouTube stream, streaming on the ESPN Wisconsin app as well. I'm Jim Rutledge, alongside Pablo Iglesias. Pablo, I'm wearing my Boca Bowl shirt.
I like it. And Florida Jim is back?
Florida Jim is back.
You love to see it.
For many reasons, hopefully because it's not the Badgers don't have six wins. The Badgers can't play in the Boca Bowl. They're not one of the teams, like one of the conferences that are, are lined up maybe someday. But
with how the rearrangements are going, you never know. You never know these days now.
Yeah, there's not even conferences anymore. Yeah. It's just a big amoeba of teams. Bama, Pablo. It was bad. It was bad in Bama. 38-14 loss. Ty Simpson, I mean, I felt like every pass was completed after like two drives. Like after the first two drives, they kind of got their feet underneath them.
It's like the sliders were just like we're just like pushed up, and he was just completing every pass. It's like when I was like 13 and I just wanted to win the Heisman the video game.
Turn it down to freshman difficulty.
That is all I did. It was just complete a pass up the middle, and my stats would just go through the roof.
Yeah, I saw a stat that if you take out those two drops that were right in the hands of Alabama receivers at the end of the game, he would have only thrown two incomplete passes.
Wow,
all game.
There were some fastballs that he had too, where it's just like how is he getting it to these receivers, man, and how they're making some of these catches.
Is he the best quarterback they're going to face this year? I don't think so. They face a lot of good teams.
Let's see. Oregon, I know they have a solid. It's not Dylan Gabriel, but if by the time they face Oregon, Ohio State,
I believe
those kids will be better.
And I think the Oregon quarterback, it was like a pretty highly recruited guy, and like got to sit behind Dylan Gabriel. So like I think they're very excited about like he kind of learned to play quarterback a little bit behind Gabriel.
Depending on how Altmyer goes, I mean I don't think he'll be better than the Alabama quarterback, but I think he'll be close. He'll be a good second at least, depending on how Illinois. I mean, the offense is just insane right now.
Yeah, there's a lot
of
good quarterbacks. Ty Simpson, 382, 4 TDs. Daniel Neal was no specific player was the problem. The program was the problem against Alabama. So I'll just end it with this. The Badgers, my big takeaway, the Badgers are so far from competing for a college football playoff spot, it's not even funny. It's just get our house in order. Six wins, I hope. We'll get deeper into what it means for Maryland, but my biggest takeaway is the Badgers had one guy that clearly belonged on the field that we can easily see in Vinny Anthony. The linemen, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But like Vinny Anthony, from like as a fan's perspective, to be able to truly see, does that guy belong? Vinny Anthony is the only guy that I said unquestionably belongs. The Badgers had a few other players that might have been close, but Vinny showed up. Historically, you'd think Hallman and a few other guys, but who actually showed up and played? Because if a quarterback only had adjusted completion percentage of two incompletions, cornerbacks can't be on that list. So I got Vinny Anthony as the only guy that showed out for the Badgers.
I just in general feel like that it was more of how do you feel after this loss, and last year was just a stomp. You don't want that on your home field. But it's not like I felt an overwhelming positive view either from this. It was just 38-14, and I think what did it for me was how the second half started on that first play, where it was a screen pass, and all of a sudden, like again, it just felt like a video game cheat code in that sense too, where it was like, how the heck does this guy just break open into the field? It just looked like the defense was lost. So I don't think I still felt worse compared to last year with that Alabama loss, but I didn't necessarily feel significantly better after this one either. So it's just a lot of confusion right now, man. That's that's where I stand after the Alabama game.
Yeah, for me, my biggest takeaway was the lack of discipline. Like, we're in year three of
it was
Luke
all self-inflicted,
Fickell.
It felt
like. Yeah, first drive. And, Jim, I tweeted this out. You got you quote tweeted me. You got on me for this afterwards. When I tweeted out that the Badgers were beating themselves, Bama wasn't beating them, that was about midway through the first quarter.
Yeah.
And after that, Bama just took it to the Badgers. It was a talent gap. I will admit, after that, I was wrong. So, Bama just beat the Badgers.
I was just chuckling because I was listening to the game. I was taking my daughters to the library, so I was listening on the way to the library. And then when I got to the library, I brought up my phone and opened up the YouTube app and watched the game at the library. So I had to force myself to be quiet.
Nice. Readers are leaders.
Right. Force myself to kind of just ride it out and quiet that game. But, yeah, I wish.
It's the worst place to watch a game in the library.
Right, I know, right? But it was actually fine because I had nothing to be excited about, so I just sat there.
Yeah, there wasn't. You know, nothing to cheer.
Yeah, you just sit there and just slowly get more and more withdrawn of like, oh, this is just bad.
Yeah, but to my point, that first few drives were so critical.
Yeah.
You have the first offensive possession of the game. Badgers are moving the football. Offensive pass interference, set them back 15 yards, drives over, punt. Mm-hmm. They take a sack. Then you get a stop on fourth down. You have all the momentum. Danny O'Neill throws a dumb interception that I'm not really blaming on discipline. But then you have Bama. There's a missed holding call on their touchdown drive, sure. But then you have a roughing the passer penalty when you have them stopped on third down. You have other holding calls when you're moving the football, and those are just drive killers. You're not going to beat Bama when you're sitting at second and 20. And in year three of Luke Fickell, those are the things that I want to see cleaned up that I feel like should be a given at this point, and it's really frustrating. If you want to pull an upset like that, if you want to beat anyone in the Big Ten, you need to be more disciplined than that. So that was my big takeaway, the thing I was most really just disappointed in, lack of discipline.
Before we move on, give us the recap of the actual experience, though.
Okay, yeah, I was down in Bama. I was at Bryant-Denny Stadium, and I will say it's kind of two separate entities here. You have the actual game itself in the stadium, fantastic. Bryant-Denny Stadium is huge. Their fans are passionate, and that was the thing I was most impressed with was the fans. I said this on the post-game show. Bama defense sacked Danny O'Neill on like the second or third to last drive of the game, and you would have thought there are a lot of fans that cleared out at that point. You would have thought it was the first quarter. By how they reacted, they went nuts, and they were freaking out when Vinny scored, freaking out when Ballard scored, like pissed off at their team. And I was like, all right, like these fans are legit. Like they're dialed in. They care about football.
Roll Tide, baby.
And that's the thing. Everything outside of that, they don't care about nearly as much. So it kind of sucked, like to be honest. You're not missing anything by not going to Alabama, in my opinion, for the game day atmosphere. They have all their everyone's wearing a collared shirt. It's really quiet. There's no music when you're walking in. They have one big tailgating area, which was overrun with Wisconsin fans because that was the only place people were drinking. And then after the game, the bars were also just Badgers fans. So we kind of inserted our culture down there. Game day, like the game itself, awesome at Bama. Would totally recommend. Game day environment, atmosphere, eh.
How did the stadium feel itself, too? I saw pictures and posts all over. They said the stadium was just
it's
huge.
Big. It feels
it's
big.
Like overwhelmingly. Yeah, like it's just, yeah.
It's intimidating. Like, if you go into that place at night when it is packed and rowdy, I would not want to play at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Over 100,000 fans, and it's really towering. It's really vertical. So you're looking down. We have a great view in almost the very top of the stadium. But, yeah, it's an intimidating atmosphere.
Keep me on the lower level there. I can't look down, man. That scares me too much. Good on you, Riley, for that.
Thank you. It was a great time. Had a blast.
All right, moving on to the Maryland game. We do have a jump around poll question, and I want to bring this up because this is unique. We have 50 votes in, and you can chime in on the YouTube stream. You can put your comments in there. Is this week's game against Maryland a must win for Luke Fickell? 100% of our 50 votes is yes. 100% of our 50 votes is yes, Pablo. But right now we're going to do our half full, half empty segment, which is basically how do we, and when the Badgers actually play a close game the gate week before, we'll break down the game in a half full, half empty. But 2 weeks ago, they beat the snot out of Middle Tennessee State, and this time they got the snot kicked out of them, so we're not going to get deep into it. I already see Ryan chimed in on the ESPN Madison's YouTube stream and said if they lose Saturday, they might not win another game, which I want to get to that part in a minute here, but this is what I want to look at. Half full, Badgers win this game. Pablo, you've told me about this, and we kind of see it from afar. Luke Fickell is selling this, that these players are going to bounce back. Like, this is a group that, unlike last year, they're not going to let Alabama beat them twice. And for me, that's how it happens, is that the Badgers, they're a better football team than Maryland. Danny O'Neill, for all intents and purposes, is a very good backup quarterback, and he's good enough to beat Maryland. And again, this is all about confidence. So I'm going to, the glass half full is that the confidence was not rattled. The defense is going to go out and play how they played basically the whole season outside the Alabama game. The offense is going to play how they played in the second half against Middle Tennessee State and the second half against Miami of Ohio and play that way the whole game. And the Badgers are going to go out there and they're going to handle Maryland. And in a perfect world, they go out there and make Maryland pay because the Badgers got their ass kicked by Alabama. They're going to make Maryland pay for it. Like, that's my glass half full. Like, that's what will happen, is that they go out there and they just beat the snot out of Maryland.
I mean, you have to at this rate. Otherwise, if you don't cover, the line has been moving. I think it was a 7.5. Now it's 8.5. And I think it stands at 9.5
now.
Yeah,
9.5 now.
Yeah, so it's sliding into Wisconsin's favor.
Worst case scenario is like a 3-point victory. Like, I need you to kick the snot out of Maryland.
See, 3-point victory, I think, almost makes me feel even more sus. Like, it's a win, but it's...
Oh, yeah, it's worst case scenario. Like, great, we got to win, but, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, especially if it's an unimpressive, like, they come out flat again.
Yes.
And then just kind of out-talent Maryland at the end of the game. That would be bad.
So, half empty how they lose this game, Alabama beats them twice. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if they lose to Maryland, Alabama might have ended Luke Fickell's run. Alabama might end the winning for the Badgers. Because if the Badgers lose to Maryland, as a fan, you can't look at the rest of the schedule and go, well, that's a dub.
Mm-hmm.
If the Badgers lose at home to Maryland, there's not a game on the schedule as a fan you can go, that's a dub. And if they lose at home to Maryland, it's indicative of a program full of players who can't bounce back from Alabama beating the snot out of them. And that is very alarming. I don't think that's going to happen, but
you don't have a 100% like, or do you feel like 100% like this is going to happen? That's where we're at right now.
That's what the team has been. Like, under Fickell, they have not bounced back. Mm-hmm. If they bounce back and beat Maryland by 3, I still don't know if I could pick the Badgers to win any of the games the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they'd have 3 wins and not 2.
It's weird because we're at that point where it's like, this could happen, but will it happen? Like, we can't say, like, it's a resounding, like, majority, like we see on our poll question out here, right? Is that, look, like, we can't, it's so weird to think that we are in this spot right now, that it's like, that I think, honestly, it's crazy, honest, to think that we are talking about this week 4 game for Maryland, that this sets the stage of what's going to happen for the rest of the season. How can we determine, how is this a benchmark now for Luke Fickell and this team and this program and the future of this program? I just think it's bonkers right now to think about that, because, again, this is a team, and you're coming in as a 9.5-point favorite. Like, I want to see, as you talked about, bounce backs too. That offensive line, I know that they're dealing with a plague of injuries. There's guys that are moving around all over the place. How is the offensive line going to bounce back? I mean, because you need that protection for Danny O'Neill and all that. That's like overarching. Yes, the guys need to bounce back. Everybody's holding themselves accountable. That's great. But now, how are you going to bounce back? How are you going to do that? I need to see that. I need to see that. Like I said, it's sus if the Badgers win by, if they don't cover. If they don't cover, show me something.
Mm-hmm.
Show me something. I think this team, I said this at the start of the season, and I'll stick by it. I'll stand by it. Is that this team at least feels like that they can walk the walk and talk the talk. Now, can they show us how to do it consistently? I want to see that. That's just where I'm at right now. And I just feel like I'm at this stage of frustration, confusion. I'm holding out for hope, but it feels like time is like just kind of ticking for me right now.
Yeah, in a similar vein, Pablo. Like, you guys both know, I've been glass like 9/10 full all season.
Yeah, I think it's overflowing. Yeah,
essentially on this Badgers team. And this is the first time I feel I've genuinely been teetering on the edge. Like, man, I totally believed in this team all season, but you have to see it on the field. And especially this week, my half full, to bring it back positive after a brief lapse there. You're playing a freshman quarterback. And this Maryland team averages 3.5 rushing yards an attempt. They can't run they haven't been able to run the football against Towson, NIU.
Towson, wow.
And I forgot the other team.
Do you guys know where Towson University is?
No.
I do.
Where is it?
So I had some friends when I lived in Florida that were from Towson. It's in Maryland.
Maryland. Oh. Yeah.
Not that far from Baltimore, I believe.
Oh, right. So basically, it instead be like if Wisconsin played Whitewater, if they were a D1 program.
Yeah.
Whitewater honestly might be a tougher game than Towson.
Yeah, because I feel like Towson's like, if you, it's a good school, and if you don't want to leave the state or don't or can't get into or don't want to go, I feel like Towson's like a good school, so it's not like you can't get into Maryland or whatever, but it's more of like, maybe you don't care about all the extracurriculars and you just want to go to school to go to school.
Yeah.
Towson.
Yes. So Towson, if Maryland can't run the football against Towson, and they have a freshman quarterback, this defense needs to feast. And I think they will this weekend. But if the secondary gets cooked again by a freshman quarterback and no-name wide receivers, I don't know. Who are they going to cover?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
It's not going to look pretty.
It's this is a big game. Big game.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Let's hope. Let's hope.
Real.
All right, the next thing we have here, and we have a video here from our show, our friends at Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee, their morning show. Jen Latta asked a hell of a question, and I want to get to it here.
Ryan from Iguanago, just, I'll throw it out there. He says, what number will be higher, Badgers wins or Packers losses?
Ooh.
I mean, strays.
That's
right
an
there.
Easy one.
Well, strays, though. What? I mean, do the Badgers need to take strays as the Packers have success this season? Is that what we're doing here?
I mean, it should be Badgers wins. Because even Badgers, if the Badgers, yeah, because the Badgers, even if they're not bowl eligible and they only win five games, I don't think the Packers lose in five games.
All right.
I mean,
so the question is, more losses for the Packers or W's for UW? I'm gonna go wins for the Badgers. I feel like the Badgers are gonna get five wins. Now, I hold full right to change my mind if they lose to Maryland here, but I think the Badgers get five wins, and I think five might be the loss number for the Packers. So I'd probably call it a push, but I'll say I think the Badgers get more wins.
Badgers get more wins. Of course, we're hoping for that, but it's what we've all been talking about. Win the games that you need to win, for sure. And because we know that in order for this team to be bowl eligible anyway this season, they have to steal that win. I think that from this question, though, I need the Badgers to please let the Badgers have more wins. That's all I have to say on that one, honestly.
Yeah, I think I'm still on the Badgers getting seven wins at least train. And I don't think the Packers are having seven losses this season. So the Badgers, they're going to get more wins. But it's a tough question. And it sucks that that is even a question at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Continuing on this, we got a clip here from Barry Alvarez talking about fan apathy. And to that point, as the votes continue to climb in our jump around poll question, is this week's game against Maryland a must win for Luke Fickell? Yeah, it is 100% yes still. I want to know how many votes we can get with it being 100%. All right, let's hear from Barry. Oh, okay. Oh, well, Barry's a little slow getting on the air there.
Come on, Barry.
We'll get the clip from Barry Alvarez in a minute when we have it ready, but I'm probably surprised that it is 100% so far.
We also got another comment from Matt, too, saying, just remember, we're in the Mike Riley phase of the Badger rebuild. We still have to get through Scott Frost and then find our guy. Hopefully, buckle up, Badgers. It might be a little bit interesting.
I don't like that.
Doesn't that's just not great. that's
no,
not great.
I would not call that great there.
Yeah.
As we have Tim Maglio chimes in on the YouTube stream as well. Must win. Well, if that's the case, I hope he loses. He needs to go. Which did bring up a question.
But then the question is from there is where do we go from here? Like, what? I get it. Like, we can't just...
Lance Leipold, come on down!
Lance, baby, bring him home!
That's what I would pick. I know a lot of people like Jason Eck, though, too.
Yeah.
But real quick.
Well, he did get the UCLA... Well, not solely... he was definitely the nail in the coffin for... was it Deshaun Foster over in at UCLA? I mean, they manhandled UCLA at home, and that's UCLA is just an embarrassing situation.
Well,
because
their quarterback, I forget his name, but he turned down millions of dollars, got paid less to go to UCLA, and is horrible.
The Tennessee kid,
yeah. Nico something, I believe.
Yeah, he's part of the quarterback draft class too. From what we're seeing, us Bears fans, I don't know if he wants
to.
Oh,
he's in that Caleb class.
I thought he's no. He might be coming up in this draft class. I don't know.
Oh God, no, I don't think we're quite there yet.
Yeah, no.
I thought you meant like high school wise.
No,
like he was
one
of those guys that was in college forever.
Nope.
All right.
Yeah, true.
I'm gonna put you on the spot. If the Badgers had to replace Luke Fickell at the end of the season, you'd go with.
I like Eck. I mean, it's tough because I like the idea of like what Luke Fickell brings in, just hard-nosed guy. But honestly, it's the same thought process too with the NFL, is that if you get more of an offensive minded coach, that's just what football is in general. Yep. It's not what college is. It's not what the pros are. Like, I think football as a whole, it's all offensive minded. You still need a strong defensive unit. But I think if you have a head coach that is offensive minded, playing this hypothetical, I think that's, you got to go with a guy like Jason Eck, who's smart. I love that play that they did in Michigan too. I think they were down two scores, but they did like this, I don't know, fumble Ruski or whatever it is. The tight end ended up throwing a touchdown pass to the Big House. Show some stones there.
Yep. I'm still 100% on the Luke Fickell train. Yeah. I am not advocating whatsoever to get rid of him. Jason Eck, I like that name. If Notre Dame, they keep losing, have a terrible season, just poach Marcus Freeman. That, he was available when the Badgers.
I would scream if Marcus Freeman was good.
That would be just a little flip-flop Cincinnati guy.
I thought you were going to say like their offensive coordinator.
No. Marcus Freeman straight up.
Marcus Freeman comes here.
Three guys, and I hope I do sincerely hope that it works out with Fickell. But otherwise, it is in no particular order. Lance Leipold, who I like personally, and like I think he's a good coach. He's doing a good job at Kansas. He did a good job at Buffalo. Eck, for sure. And then the other one would be Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah. I think Hammack's right. Is it over at NIU? Or
I don't think he's winning enough to be able to level up to the Badgers, but I do like Thomas Hammack as a person and as a coach as well. A lot of good Badger names out there. Matt Campbell's name has been around forever. But we'll move past that as we're now up over, you know, votes continue to come in, and still 100% Maryland is a must-win for Luke Fickell. That's why I asked that question. All right, let's get to Barry Alvarez.
I was afraid this would happen all season long of, you know, the status of the head coach and where the program and its trajectory is moving forward. As we start to hear that noise, guys, and Barry, I'll start with you. What do you make of that critique from fans as they're bringing that out
now?
Noise.
Fans are fickle.
Interesting choice of words.
Nice.
They, you know, you win, they love you. Last week they were great. You lose, you're the worst team and coach in the world. They flip-flop. They don't invest one penny in it. They may buy season tickets. They can say whatever they want. It's about the coach and the kids. And,
and there's a lot of football to play, coach.
When you lose, you're going to get criticized. That's just human nature. Listen, you know, whether it be the Packers or anybody, any place across the country. And we have a very avid fan base here. They care, and I appreciate that.
Barry knows full and well that, like, yes, fans buy season tickets. But if fans don't show up and they become apathetic, which we are dangerously close to, then money stops coming into the program. Advertisers spend less. If you aren't filling that stadium, who's buying the in-stadium advertising? If you're not selling out the, you know, if the team's terrible, who's buying the radio broadcast? Who's going to the bars downtown? Who's going to the tailgates? Who's going to hear that when that happens? The athletic department, the administration. So Barry, I get what he's saying on the players can't care about it. Luke Fickell can't care about it, but the fans matter. So what he's saying is true. Players and coaches cannot worry about what the fans say. But the Badgers have a brand problem. No doubt about it. People don't care about this program. People are not excited about this program. There is not a single player on this football team that people are amped up about. When I say people, I mean the casual fans. Not even the people watching this show. If you're watching this show, you're already leveled up from the casual fan. We're on this show. There's players on this team that we like. But when I'm out and about talking to people, they don't know who the quarterback is, let alone the running backs, the wide receivers, the linemen. And that's how you get a program to die, because the money goes away when the fans stop showing up, because those fans also own businesses. Those fans also buy suites. Those suites aren't going to be full. Those businesses are not going to invest NIL money if there's no juice around the program. And Barry knows that. Luke Fickell can't care about that, and the players can't care about that. But the most likely thing to get Luke Fickell fired too early, because I think he is doing the right things to rebuild the program, is if the fans become apathetic, which they got to be dang close to, it's over. Because there's no money left.
It's a balance of apathy and just feeling like you're living in the glory days. There's nothing wrong with going back and going down a memory lane and everything and remembering all the good things. But if that's all you have and that's all the things that you reference, it's just, where are we now? Like, what we're thinking of, like, what the good old days. It's not that you're clinging on to, like, what happened. And, I mean, we've heard it. We've seen fans, like, genuinely say, what has happened to this Wisconsin team? What happened to the glory days? What happened to the 9-10 win seasons? And I know that this, you and Jim, you and I stand on this too, is that college football has changed. The Big Ten has changed. Yep. It's not the Big Ten West. It's a very different conference. It's a very different sport. But also, I almost think of, like, being going over to my Bears fandom of just clinging on to 1985, and that's it. It's like, hey, but remember 1985? That's it. I don't know if the Badgers, at least, just because it just feels like that we're clinging on to what the culture was or what all the memories were. And there's a lot of historic memories. There's a lot of good stuff. But it's just where I'm at right now is, like, we're almost, like, just clinging on to that right now. Like, it's just, I don't want the program and I don't want Wisconsin Badgers football to be just this remember when. And it's like, what new memories can be created now? That's where I'm at right now. And I don't feel like fans are falling off on that right now. But at least just for me, it's like, those are the only things that I had when I came to Madison, was knowing what the Badgers were, what the history was, what all that is. It's just knowing what they used to be.
More YouTube comments coming in on the coaches that people want. I saw Ryan chimed in with Leipold or Gruden. And Jason chimed in with
Nightmares.
I would want Jimmy, which is Jimmy Leonard. I don't want Jimmy Leonard. I don't want John Gruden. I don't want anyone here who has not coached college football currently.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people, like, clamoring for John Gruden. And I think that's just based off the one hype speech he gave to the Badgers that he also gives to every school he visits, yes. Which is
curious.
I also
don't think John Gruden wants to coach college football.
No, he's a brand himself now. Yes. He's making way more money not coaching.
It's also, like when Tony La Russa came back to manage. Right. I'm like, no, let's not do this.
But every coach will tell you that it's easier to coach in the NFL than it is in college at this point.
Well, there's, like,
constant recruiting. It's just like a free agent being during the season.
It's all, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, though, I believe Saban even said, too, that's why he wanted to step away from college football. He said that, what was it, playing in the playoff and losing in the Rose Bowl, that they lost a week of recruiting. Like, he wasn't trying to say, like, college football's in a terrible place, but he wasn't saying that it wasn't, just in terms of where the playoff was. Like, you could read a little bit of the writing on the wall of, like, why he decided to move on, why he decided to retire, was that you could tell that he was like, I don't know if I want to be a part of this. I think I just want to move on and retire and call it a career. I've had a successful run. And it's just changed. The demand is just through the roof now.
Yeah, I was listening on game night the other night, and they were talking about how Ryan Day, I mean, is frustrated about the transfer portal. They got rid of the spring portal officially today, which I think is good. Like, less transfer portals, less movement. But now the one transfer portal window is in the middle of preparation for the college football playoff. So if you're a playoff team, you have to constantly continue to recruit your own guys, kind of keep an eye out on big names from non-playoff teams who want to leave schools, while also preparing for the biggest games of the year. It's just a nightmare right now.
It absolutely is. All right, let's get to the portal.
It's time to get back into the portal.
All right, it is time to enter the Badgers Twitter portal. Maybe inject a little bit of positivity into what has been, a sad, discussion. The state of the program is not where we'd like it to be right now. But some unrelated Badgers news to this season. We're moving all the way up to 2031. The Badgers just announced that their game against Virginia Tech, which has continuously pushed back, I believe they scheduled it in 2008, will now be at the Duke's Mayo Classic. They are no longer doing a home-and-home series, and we have Dunking and Dragons here. I really wanted to go if the game was in Blacksburg. Not so much anymore. It'll be in Charlotte. This past weekend in Tuscaloosa was incredible for those of us who traveled there. These neutral site games are killer. Do you agree? Neutral site games should be banned in college football, outside of bowl games.
Depends on the site. I agree with the sentiment there from Dunkin' and Donuts or whatever it was.
Yeah. Nice.
I don't mean to rip it. I just kind of forgot it. Because I don't want to see a game at the Duke's Mayo Bowl Stadium. No, absolutely not.
Come on, man.
But Soldier Field, Lambeau Field, there's probably certain venues throughout the country that I would. But I would want to see the Badgers play in Blacksburg. So, like, I get that sentiment. There are certain places, like, and I know obviously the bowl game was played at Yankee Stadium, but there was a game at Yankee or Wrigley or you know, just different historic spots throughout the country. I would obviously anything at the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will, and back in the day, the Orange Bowl could have been a cool place for teams to play. That stadium's not around anymore, but I would say outside of historical venues, yes, ban NutraSite games for regular season games.
Okay.
I'm on this one, too, where it's like, I think Las Vegas, that's awesome. I'd love to see the Badgers kick off there. It was fun when they were in the Vegas Bowl a few years ago. It's all about location and like where they are for me, too. Or if you're playing at Jerry World when they played Alabama a few years ago. It was a little bit of a closer result, at least, in that game. But
6 points.
Yeah. You know what? I would say like it just depends on the location for me. Like I love Dublin. I love the idea of Lambeau Field next year. So those are neutral sites. I mean, they're considered home, but I think they're a little closer to neutral, even though that's not mm-hmm. their home stadium. I don't know. I'm on the let's keep it going. Just make the location sexy.
Yeah, Lambeau Field and Soldier Field for Notre Dame and Wisconsin, I think, are a little different when you have it's
Fair
so
enough.
Close and each fan base has a big contingent throughout the state and near Chicago, etc. But I hate neutral site games. I like home and homes. All right, moving on to some pertinent news for this weekend from a friend of show, Evan Flood. I asked Danny O'Neill if he started on Saturday against Maryland. I don't know if you guys saw this. He gave a little smirk, shrugged his shoulders, and said, "We'll see." And Billy Edwards is starting to get more reps in practice. So, if Billy Edwards is available, not fully healthy, would you like to see him play this weekend against Maryland, or do you play Danny O'Neill regardless?
Man, if he's not fully healthy, you said?
Yep, not fully healthy, but he can play.
This is hypothetical. Yes. So,
which I think is where he's at, but I'm not sure.
And they have the bye week after this.
Yes.
So I would say don't play Danny. I almost want to say even if he's healthy, if he's just starting to get the reps now. Like, I'm sorry, Billy. Danny's been playing well enough. Let him play. Let him beat Maryland. Danny O'Neill should not be the story of the game regardless, or mm-hmm. Billy Edwards. So I was to say if he was healthy, I'd love Billy to come in and clean up time just to get some game reps. But I think, and this is not like saying replace Billy with Danny, but my point is that less than 100% Danny O'Neill, you do not need to run him out. Or that less than 100% Billy Edwards, you do not need to run him out to replace Danny O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
Danny O'Neill's played well enough to just get this another opportunity here. And if Billy happened to be healthy but just doesn't have the game endurance or hasn't had like a lot of reps, I wouldn't mind seeing him play against Maryland on the back end of it, just some garbage time cleanup. Mm-hmm. But in general, I would say unless Billy Edwards is 100%, don't play him.
If he feels 100%, same on my side, send him. But it's what I think about. I know playing at Tuscaloosa and playing Maryland at home are vastly different situations, but it's Jake Renfro was a game time decision, and yes, he's a huge anchor to the offensive line, but you also ran that risk too that he unfortunately did end up leaving. I think mm-hmm. it was the third possession early on in the game either way, and that's, do you want to risk it? I don't know. I think there's a flip side to it. He could play the whole game and he might not be 100%, but he's going to do things, or he could hurt himself and, you know, it hurts your season even further. So unless he's like really like ready to go, I am the guy. I'm ready to do this. I feel great. I feel like me from the start of the season. I wouldn't do it. You got 2 weeks. Let Danny let it rip this week. Then you got the bye week, and then you go into the gauntlet. That is October and the rest of the season from here.
Yeah, that's why I think you play Danny O'Neill. It'd be cool to see Billy Edwards face his old school, but better safe than sorry. You need Billy for that big stretch. Last thing from me, USC, just kickoff at normal time for all parties involved. Challenge impossible. Do not attempt from Patrick Barron, who appears to be a Michigan fan. They're kicking off at 9 a.m. local time.
What the hell?
So they're going to be in Champaign, but USC fans out in Cali going to have to wake up early to watch that game. And last week, they were in California. They were in L.A., and it was 10 p.m. local time in Michigan. They play Michigan State. Like, why are we doing this? This is ridiculous.
Especially, why in the world are we having USC play at 9 a.m.? These poor kids' body clocks are completely out of whack then.
This is going to be a scorigami game, 100%. We're going to get a weird score in this game.
Yeah, from the fans' purposes, like, what a disservice. It's a disservice to USC. It's a disservice to their fans. Like, wow, that is super. Why is it at 9?
Because it's an 11 a.m. kickoff in Champaign. Like, it's a normal morning kickoff in Illinois.
Okay.
So USC, I guess, just has to adapt. Maybe this was the game Fox wanted for this week, so they're just screwed.
I think in the long run, you're going to have to figure out to shoot the difference on that.
Play Friday night. Isn't that how they've been combating this, at least, for the coastal games and all that? I don't know.
Pretty sure. Iowa, I think they're doing Iowa-Rutgers tomorrow night. Instead, which...
Well, that's dumb.
Friday Night Lights, baby!
First of all, that game stinks. Like, Illinois-USC's got a little juice to it. Yeah.
Top 10?
Yeah. Scarlet Knights and... what's
God. I guess it's like the ambient music, like the Calm app. You want to watch this football game to go to sleep?
It's the Masters.
I got Rutgers, Iowa on the Calm app to help you sleep.
Yeah, it's going to be 14-3 final score.
Hey, that's going to be a fun game to unite when you just go out and about on a Friday night and you just make random friends and everybody's just crowding around the TV. Somebody's got the Rutgers money line or whatever it is. If people partake or just enjoy the game. That's the experience I had with Texas A&M and Notre Dame on Saturday night. And no, we just ended up making friends, and you just bond from that. You get to see a late game at the bar.
Or a 9 a.m. game at your local diner.
I've done that before, actually. Fun fact, I think it was 2016. It was Michigan-Ohio State when I was living in Los Angeles, and my dad and I found a bar where we could watch the game. I think we got in at like 8 a.m.
Nice.
We got in at 8 a.m.
Jeez.
Had pounded pitchers of IPAs, and it was 11:30, and we... carried
East
on
Coast
with the rest
was weird
of the day.
Still sounds fun.
It was
East Coast
time.
Was weird for the NFL
because
it was like, 1 o'clock then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that seems too late. I don't know. I love the Central Time Zone, personally. I think it's the best. But that's all I got for the Twitter portal today, USC WAC scheduling.
All right. We have Mason Reiger and Jaden Ballard coming up. You guys got a chance to talk to both of them, so very exciting here. But before we get to their appearance here on the Jump Around, September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and Steinhoffels is doing something really great with Special Spaces Wisconsin. All you have to do is stop by Steinhoffels this month and test rest any mattress. When you do, you'll get a $20 restaurant gift card, so dinner's on them. And Steinhoffels will also donate $20 to Special Spaces Wisconsin. They're an amazing charity that creates dream bedrooms for kids with cancer. Head to Steinhoffels this September, take a test rest, enjoy your night out, and help make a child's dream bedroom come true. This is the Jump Around. We got the interviews coming up right now.
This weekend only at Steinhoffels, the more you buy, the more you save. It's our Buy More, Save More sale. Start with 10% off store-wide, then take an extra $150 off every $14.99 you spend. Spend $29.98, save $300. Spend even more, save even bigger. And the savings don't stop there. Make your new room more affordable with 18-month special financing. Steinhoffels is Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader. Relax, it's Steinhoffels.
Riley Yauch here for the Jump Around with Badgers linebacker Mason Reiger. And Mason, tough loss on Saturday. How has, just take us into the locker room, take us into practice today. What's the attitude been like for the team as you guys try to bounce back this week against Maryland?
Yeah, you know, earlier this week, obviously it's breaking down the tape and learning from what we put on tape. You know, obviously you do the same thing after every game. Take, you know, the mistakes that you made, the plays that we left out there, learn from them. Then we pretty much work it into the game plan versus Maryland, and then it's almost like a flush, like, all right, take what you learned, move on. What happened last week is what happened. You just got to move on and attack the next week at hand.
Yeah, and I understand you're a transfer into Wisconsin, but you're a senior, you're a leader. How have you sort of led in the locker room and been able to, encourage the young guys, keep the right perspective still early on in the season?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we had the privilege of starting 2-0, earned, but to have your first loss early in the season is, I think, obviously no one wants it, but to have an opportunity to learn from it and see what kind of team you really are, because you're tested early in the season. Mm-hmm. Now you have an opportunity to bounce back. So I think what I can do is like you said, someone who is older and been around some college football, is I can speak light and into people. And mm-hmm. there's people out on the team that are just like, they maybe not have never experienced something like that, to just be able to learn from it and then flush it and move on and just work 1 week at a time is, I think, something that I can preach to the guys.
Yeah, I love that phrase, speaking light into people. How do you go about doing that?
I'm big on encouragement. So I see somebody mess up a play. Obviously, no one's going to be perfect by any means. And, you know, we hold ourselves to such high standards already. And I think as teammates, you do as well. So to just go out there and see someone make a mistake, and instead of just like beating down on them, obviously they're going to know, because as a Division I football player, you're going to hold yourself to a high standard as it is already. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be down on themselves. They need somebody to pick them up, because, you know, they're going to be counted on to make the next play. And I think this, my teammates do the same for me. So just going hand in hand with each other, pushing each other to be better every day.
That's fantastic. And now, obviously, there were some struggles. It was a tough loss, tough on the defense. But what were some of the things you thought the defense did well that you can build upon heading into this week?
I think some of the things that we did well, you know, I think we finished the game pretty well. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you go down a significant amount of scores like that, you can let it get out of hand. You can let it get ugly. And as ugly as it was, you know, first half, really 28 points, counting the first play out of the jump, it's tough. I think a lot of guys still played with high energy. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's nothing to be overly proud of, because you could just be out there with energy and you got to execute at the same time. So I think being able to build, you know, have a good game plan working into Maryland, and just, you know we need to do a better job in the pass game. I think run defense wise, everybody knows we're doing a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. And I think we can't get away from that. That's going to be what we hold ourselves on as a defense. So to just go out there and play complimentary ball, to be able to, you know, work that into the pass defense as well, because mm-hmm. it's not just a coverage aspect. You know, obviously we got to get pressure on the quarterback too. It goes hand in hand. So I think that's going to be a big focus for this week.
Yeah, and the Maryland offense, they're off to a good start this season, 3-0. What have you seen from them that you guys are going to be focusing on this week when you're trying to get stops?
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, it's about us and executing our mm-hmm. game plan. But to just have a young quarterback like that maybe mm-hmm. we can affect more so in this game, is going to be a big piece, driving factor for us. I think it's going to be a big game. You know, they see what happens when we do get pressure on the quarterback and how effective that can be, and then when we don't. So I think to get back to what we were is going to be a big focus for us.
Okay. And going back to your more of your leadership side of things and your time at Louisville last season, you didn't play, but you saw some tough losses that team took against really good teams like Notre Dame and Miami. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you learned from how you approach those losses that you're bringing in to the locker room and to your approach this week?
To the locker room, yeah, you know, big games like that, obviously, you know, those are ones that you want to go your way. You have an opportunity on a big stage to play a really good opponent. You know, those are the games that you want more, you know. It's nice to beat some smaller schools early on in the season, and every week's a new week. Good opponents are what it is in Division I football, but those big games is kind of what, you know, drives you, and you want to win those games. You go out there, like Louisville, for example, versus Notre Dame or Miami, or us against an Alabama, you know. Mm-hmm. So now we're into the Big Ten. Like, these are all big games. So I think to have that opportunity to just play every single week and have an opportunity like that is going to be good for us, and just living up to those expectations.
Yeah, a couple lighter ones to end on. I saw you played baseball back in high school. Is there anything you took? First, what position did you play in baseball?
I played second base and center field.
Okay, nice. Is there anything that you took from playing that middle infield spot, maybe tracking some fly balls in center field, that you bring to the football field?
You know, I don't really have the opportunity to do that. Yeah. I think if I was a DB, I'd like to think that I'd have significantly better ball skills than a lot of guys that I've seen that maybe haven't played baseball. Mm. But I've never played DB, really, so I can't speak on that as much.
All right, totally fair. And you're newish to Madison. What are your favorite spots, whether that be to eat, to go hang out? What have you loved about Madison so far?
Oof, man, there's a lot. I've really loved Madison since I've been here. Mm. I've had a lot of people ask me, like, if I could do it all over again, I'd say, like, Madison's a great spot. Like, mm-hmm. if you're a freshman cat, having the opportunity to be here 4 or 5 years is honestly a really good opportunity. I spent a lot of time on State Street.
Great call.
I think I'm kind of stick to my basics. Like, I like Chipotle a lot. Yeah. So, Chipotle, and then, like, there's a good smoothie spot called Pure Green.
That's
a good spot, too.
All right. That's some ball knowledge right there.
Yeah.
And last thing from me, what's your message to Badgers fans as you approach a big week against Maryland?
Yeah, my message to Badger fans is, you know, we're doing everything we can in here because we know, obviously, speaking from internally in the program, like, we know what we're expecting of ourselves. Like, this is a game where we get back on track. You know, we lose a big game like that, and it's like, all right, obviously, we have the opportunity to play a team like Alabama, and it doesn't go our way. So what can we do to learn from that, apply it to Maryland, and just get going into the meat of our season here? And like it is conference play, every single game is going to be big. So just building momentum as we go is, I think, what we're focused on and what we know we're going to make happen.
Fantastic. Appreciate the time. Mason Reiger, Badgers linebacker. Riley out for the jump around. What's poppin', Pablo Iglesias here with Jaden Ballard for the jump around, wide receiver for the Wisconsin Badgers. Jaden, first and foremost, I mean, you're a newer guy to Madison. You know, how do you feel getting settled in and everything, just getting to know the Madison area and all that?
I've been pretty good for my time being here since January. Coming in, I was really, like, leaning on, like, Tretch and Vinny and them guys, like, show me around, show me the ropes. So, really, yeah, I've been good.
Jumping at the ball, I mean, that's a tough one, unfortunately, for Alabama. But how are you guys turning that page heading into Maryland week? What are the learning lessons that you guys took away from that game?
You know, just there's always room for improvement, you know, getting better each and every week. This week, especially getting better, you know, playing fast, fearless. So.
And then, I mean, your numbers are looking good, though, so far to start off the season. Like, just getting to work with Coach Grimes, that confidence, working into a new offense. I know it's not an easy task to do, but how are you feeling personally with, you know, the numbers that you're putting up and how you're performing for the team?
I mean, it's not just me. It's I want to give a shout-out or praise to, obviously, all the coaches and the O-line and the D-line for, you know, making everything possible for us guys to make plays and do what we do.
What's the biggest learning lesson, again, from the Alabama loss? Because Coach Fickell even said, too, like, it's really that time. It was that game that starts, you know, with a pretty tough schedule, a pretty tough road ahead. What do you think you learned after a loss like that?
Coming from that, you know, it's obviously not the outcome we wanted, but, you know, just playing through the whistle, you know, we got a lot of work done going into that game. During the game too, you know, guys getting better, young guys stepping in, even older guys, you know, still showing what they can do. And like I said, just keep going from here.
And then your voice too, the locker room, what are you saying to the guys? Like, how do you guys all make sure too? Because again, it's everybody knows that you're going to face adversity at some point in the season, whether it's early, whether it's late. What are you saying to your teammates to make sure that you guys, one, hold each other accountable, of course, but two, make sure that you guys are all there for each other as you move
on?
Yeah,
I'm not really a type of guy to, like, you know, be all rowdy and talk, but yeah. I'll throw my two cents in there, you know, get the guys motivated. And, you know, me coming from, you know, Ohio State, obviously, and me being a fifth year, I didn't see a lot of stuff. So just giving them some advice on, you know, we can, you know, do this, play confident, and play like how you've been playing since you were a little kid. So,
what's the scouting report on Maryland right now? What do you guys know? What do the matchups look like, especially for you?
Winning the game,
yeah.
You know, playing, like I said, playing fast, playing fearless, and going out there and showing what we can do.
What's the attitude? I mean, again, I'm sure after a week like last week too, guys got a good chip on that shoulder. You guys are hungry. You're back at home. All those things. Give us a pulse of what that locker room's like, especially for you heading into this week.
I feel like, you know, head down, you know, go to work, and like I said, winning the game, and everyone playing fast, confident, and winning.
Yeah. Well, outside of this too, you were talking to us a little bit before we started rolling. You're a big 2K guy. Tell us a little bit about that. You always been a gamer? What's been the vibe here?
No, actually, I was like always outside kid, okay, playing every sports. So I got to college and I started playing a game, mm-hmm, you know, 2K, where it's at right now. So yeah, I've been playing 2K.
You're my player, you said, right? You're in that mode right player. Now. Where are we at? Are we a rookie that's taken off in the league? Are we a veteran? How many ships have we got? That's one question.
I don't play like NBA games. I just play like the park, rec,
okay,
stuff like that.
Oh, you're just trying to dunk on people on the street ball then.
That's good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, what other games are? Is it just 2K alone?
I used
what?
To play Call of Duty a little bit. Now I don't really play that no more. So just 2K right now.
Okay, gotcha. What else? Who are the other big gamers out here? Is it just you solo or do you play with the guys out here?
Tyrell Henry plays, Eugene. Really,
I play with the whole receiver room, so, okay. Yeah.
Tredge plays Fortnite. I don't know why, but
why we gotta cook him like that? Come on, man. Fortnite's not bad. You ever give it a shot?
I used to play Fortnite. I was really good, but lay off that.
I got you. Anything else the guys like to do to bond too? I know that a lot of, you know, well, actually what was cool too was what we heard from Coach Brady saying that there's a point system that if you hung out with different position groups over the summer, you got extra points. Like, what other position groups did you get to hang out with? Who else did you get to know as you?
I'd say the O linemen. We went go-karting all together. And really
who came
just,
out and won? That's the question.
Who won? I think Vinny won.
Okay.
Yeah.
Speed. All right. Yeah. V8
so
out there.
And once the receivers hang out, we'll go like bowling or just like go out to eat or just like chill at each other's houses. It's really nothing too much. Just relaxing and chilling.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Before we wrap things up, your message to Badger fans, to the whole nation, as you guys get ready for Maryland this week. What do you got to say?
Bring juice. Be loud. Help us out. We're going to win.
Perfect. All right. Pablo Iglesias here. Jaden Ballard from Wisconsin Football for the Jump Around.
Man, I hope that the Badgers win and they win handedly. Great job, guys. Great interviews there. This has been the Jump Around, our Badger-dedicated show on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream and streaming on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Peace!